Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Jenny. I wonder if we have anyone here who, now, if we're honest, actually likes having a new wardrobe. Anyone here like having a new wardrobe? Yes. One or two honest ones among us. Did you know that God is interested in your wardrobe? He is. Seriously, God is interested in your wardrobe. And we're going to be touching on that as two things we're looking at particularly about this particular beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Well, let's begin by looking first of all at the personal aspect of this beatitude. Tom Wright, the biblical scholar, translates the verse, "Wonderful news for people who hunger and thirst for God's justice. You are going to be satisfied." There are two ways, I think, we can look at this beatitude, or certainly I am proposing to look at it two ways this morning. One from our personal perspective, and one from the perspective of our relationship with the world around us. So let's begin with the personal perspective. Charles read our first reading from Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, the psalmist expresses a deep longing to know God. He says, "My soul thirsts for God." A deep longing to know God and to meet him. Something I've quoted, I think, many times before. The students of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, all of you, clearly. What is the chief end of man, asks the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the answer is, wonderfully, to know God and enjoy him forever. To know God and enjoy him forever. Isn't that a wonderful statement? But the Bible makes it very clear from beginning to end that we have a problem with that. And the problem is that God is holy, God is pure, God is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. And the Bible also makes abundantly clear, and Jesus' teaching in particular, that the human heart is anything but pure, holy, and full of light. In fact, the human soul, the human heart, contains an awful lot of darkness. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 says, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a person unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a person unclean." Our souls left to themselves are not places of light. There's all sorts of dark corners hidden in the human heart. Paul, as he writes to the Christians at Galatia, underlines this. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious," he says. "Sexual immorality, impurity, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you," he says, "as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." So as you and I stand before God left to ourselves, friends, we need a new wardrobe. Because as Isaiah is told in Isaiah 64, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. It's a very powerful statement. It means when you and I stand before God clothed in what we think might be acceptable to God, he sees as filthy rags. And who wants to stand before God clothed in filthy rags? Because God is pure and holy, everything that isn't that in us is obvious to him. It's as if we are clothed in rags that have been dragged through the mire and the muck of life. And when we stand before God, you and I are in need of a new wardrobe. We need new clothes. What the Bible calls the clothes of salvation, the garments of salvation. You and I need a new wardrobe if we are to stand before God and to know him. And the wonderful thing is about our Christian faith, which we celebrate and so often take for granted, is that in the person of Jesus Christ, God provides that. Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, declares, "Every living soul belongs to God, and the soul that sins is the one that will die." And so it's clear that the human soul has to be dealt with, that we have no way of being in a right relationship with God unless God does something. And he has in Jesus. Paul sums it up like this in the book of Romans. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we are clothed in these filthy rags, Jesus died for us. And Paul goes on when he writes to the Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in your filthy rags. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." God himself, in the person of Jesus, rescues us from our state of lostness through Jesus' death on the cross. Paul sums it up in 2 Corinthians 5. "God made him," that is Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." As one commentator has written, "Christ, the only entirely righteous one, at Calvary, took our sin upon himself and endured the punishment we deserved, namely death and separation from God. Thus, by a marvelous exchange, he made it possible for us to receive his righteousness and thereby be reconciled to God. Our standing and our acceptance before God are solely in Christ. Again, all this is God's doing, and it is freely available to us because of the initiative of God's divine grace." As Alec Mateer, who used to be my principal at theological college, said, "All personal merit, all acquired virtue, all efforts to attain righteousness, all that would be to the glory of man is gone. Christ alone stands on the stage." God knows we need a new wardrobe. That wardrobe is offered to each of us by Jesus. He wants to have a clothes exchange. He wants to take off the ragged, filthy rags, spoiled by the cares and rough and tumble of this life, and clothe us with a pure white robe that is his. And as we are willing to say, "Jesus, only you can provide that. I know my need of that new wardrobe. Lord, I bow to you. He makes the exchange. He clothes us with the new robe of righteousness. And so, as far as individuals are concerned, our inner hunger and thirst for righteousness, for being in a right standing with God, is satisfied fully and completely in Jesus. As Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. So how do we receive the new wardrobe? Well, Abraham began to realize that. When Abraham was given a promise by God, what are we told? Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Faith, therefore, is the key. Trusting God at his word. Trusting ourselves to Jesus and all that he has done for us. And as Paul says in Galatians 3, for all you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The great exchange, the ragged garments, the dirty garments for Christ himself, the garments of salvation. And as Tom Wright explains, our faith, our belief that the crucified and risen Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord of the world, and our loyalty to him are the sign and badge that we have a credit balance consisting simply of him, over and against all the debts we could ever have from anywhere else. It is about the status we possess, our standing before God himself, and continue to possess as full members of God's people, no matter who our parents were or what moral, cultural, religious background we might have had. In Christ, we can stand before God, accepted, embraced, and loved. But if you look at that second reading that Jenny brought to us from Philippians chapter 3, where Paul makes it clear that this new robe of righteousness comes through faith. Let me just find that there. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Friends, faith, that trust in Jesus is the key. In Christ, we are clothed with the garments of salvation, the great exchange, the new wardrobe is given. But I mentioned right at the beginning that there are a second possible way of looking at this particular beatitude. There is the personal, but there is also the relational in terms of our relationship with the world around us. And when we look at our television screens and read our newspapers, what do we so often see? Exploitation, greed, inappropriate and predatory sexual behavior, from film stars to politicians to sports coaches, injustice in society, unfairness in wage disparities, you name it, it just goes on and on and on. And do you find yourself longing, deep longing for justice? For fairness, for this to be put right, for an equality, an end to oppression, and a genuine care for other people in this fragile earth in which and with which we are so intimately linked. And it's that that I want to briefly touch on. This inner longing within us as human beings for justice, for fairness, for rightness. Deep inside us as human beings created in the image of God, is this deep longing for justice. And the good news is, as Christians, we know that God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. And because you and I are made in his image, that's, I believe, is why we have this almost built-in sense, a compass, if you like, that keeps wanting to veer towards justice and fairness and rightness. It's part of God's image within us as human beings. We see it in our world today, this longing for justice. And that longing is beneath so many of our laws and the legal system as a whole. However, that longing for justice, that inbuilt compass, if you like, if it's left unredeemed, can so frequently find expression in revenge, hatred, bitterness, and so on. The kind of phrasey, oh, lock them up and throw away the key mentality, or worse. For the Christian, the longings for justice have to be focused in and through Christ. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgiveness, love, understanding, prayer, reconciliation are all possible through the Lord Jesus. And these longings in us frequently lead Christians to be involved practically in tackling injustice, helping those who have no voice on the margins of society, coming alongside those who have no voice of their own. And over the centuries, it has so often been Christians who have been at the forefront of these things in the world, the fight against slavery, the need for education, all spring because we see it through, if you like, the lens of Christ and the passion of Christ. And I believe it's when we are in Christ ourselves that we increasingly sense and feel and beat with the heart of God. Because God is a God of justice. And he wants us, his people, to stand with him and to fight with him for those for whom justice is denied. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. They will be satisfied in the person of Jesus fully and completely. And engaging with God enables us to know that hunger and thirst satisfied in the world around us, because we're doing what God himself wants done, putting the world to right. And so in Jesus, you and I have a new wardrobe, the clothes, the garments of salvation, a right standing before God, a gift to be received based solely on all that Jesus has done, the grateful acceptance that he alone is our righteousness. And from this flows that expression that comes from the heart of God himself for his hurting and broken world. A God of justice who wants us to stand with him and work beside him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, we thank you for who you are. a God who satisfies our deepest, deepest longings, and a God who gives us a new wardrobe of right standing with you and a passion for the world that you love. Lord, help us to receive both this morning for your name's sake. Amen.